If you are gearing up for a major framework like gCloud 13, DOS 6, or RM6263, you know the drill. You are probably thinking about pricing strategies, method statements, and social value commitments. But before any of that matters, you have to get past the gatekeeper, the pre-qualification questionnaire or selection questionnaire as it is formally known. Fail a mandatory question here, and your bid is dead before the buyer even looks at your technical response. For bid managers and SME owners, the PQQ is a high-stakes compliance exercise. It demands precise financial data, flawless policies, and rigorous proof of past performance. A single missed policy attachment or a misunderstood turnover threshold can waste weeks of bid writing effort. In this episode, we are going to break down every section of a typical Crown Commercial Service PQQ. We will look at what buyers are actually asking, how to structure your answers, and the exact thresholds you need to meet to keep your bid alive. Let us start with the Administrative Foundation, Part 1. This covers supplier information. It asks for your basic company details, legal structure, and contact information. It is not scored, but accuracy is critical. Discrepancies between your registered company's house details and your PQQ response can trigger clarification questions or compliance failures. You will need your company registration number, VAT number, and DUNS number. If you do not have a DUNS number, apply for it well in advance, as processing takes several days. If you are bidding as a consortium or using subcontractors, declare it here. CCS requires transparency. If you rely on a subcontractor to meet technical or financial criteria, they will usually need to complete their own PQQ sections. Coordinate with your supply chain early. Do not wait until the day before submission to ask a partner for their audited accounts or health and safety policy. You must also detail your corporate structure to ensure transparency regarding ownership and potential conflicts of interest. Moving to Part 2, Mandatory Exclusions. This is a straightforward pass or fail compliance check based on the Public Contracts Regulations 2015. CCS must exclude any supplier convicted of specific offenses within the last 5 years, covering corruption, fraud, terrorist financing, money laundering, and human trafficking. For most SMBs, this is a simple series of no answers. However, ensure this applies to all directors and anyone with powers of representation, decision, or control. A yes almost certainly excludes you, unless you provide compelling evidence of self-cleaning, which means paying compensation, collaborating with authorities, and overhauling compliance systems. Remember, these questions apply to any organization you rely on, like a parent company or key subcontractor. If they fail, your bid fails. Part 3 covers discretionary exclusions. Unlike mandatory ones, these give the contracting authority the right, but not the obligation, to exclude you for issues occurring within the last 3 years. Key areas include bankruptcy, grave professional misconduct, distortion of competition, conflicts of interest, and significant prior contract failures. Tax compliance is heavily scrutinized. If you answer yes, you have an opportunity to explain and provide detailed evidence of corrective actions. For example, if a previous contract was terminated early due to poor performance, explain what went wrong and the structural changes made to prevent recurrence. Buyers are risk-averse. They need absolute assurance. Another common exclusion relates to Russian and Belarusian supplier restrictions introduced via Procurement Policy Note 01/22. A yes here will almost certainly lead to exclusion. Part 4 is economic and financial standing, where many SMBs stumble. CCS needs to know your business is financially robust. This is evaluated on a pass or fail basis against predefined minimum thresholds. The most common metric is the minimum turnover requirement. The Public Contracts Regulations 2015 states buyers should not demand a turnover greater than twice the estimated contract value, except in highly justified circumstances. For frameworks like IT services or professional services, the threshold is tied to the specific lot. You will be asked for your annual turnover for the last 2 or 3 financial years. If you are a startup without 3 years of accounts, you are not automatically excluded. You can usually provide alternative evidence, such as a bank letter, cash flow statement, or parent company guarantee. Communicate proactively with the buyer during the clarification period. You must also confirm insurance cover. Standard requirements include employer's liability, usually a statutory minimum of £5 million, public liability, and professional indemnity. If you do not hold the required levels, you can usually pass by committing to obtain them if awarded a place. Do not buy expensive policies just to submit a PQQ. Financial ratios like current assets divided by current liabilities may also be assessed. A ratio below 1.0 may trigger scrutiny, requiring an explanation of your cash flow position. Part 5, Technical and Professional Ability, proves you can do the job. It is rigorous and often scored. CCS wants evidence of relevant past performance. This usually involves submitting a Certificate of Technical and Professional Ability, or COTPA. You typically need 2 COTPAs per lot, detailing contracts delivered within the last 3 years, similar in scope and scale to the framework requirements. A COTPA must be signed off by your customer. The buyer from that previous contract must verify your claims. Secure these signatures well before the deadline. The contact must not have been employed by your organization in the past 3 years. Focus on outcomes and metrics. Do not just say you delivered an IT system. State you deployed a cloud infrastructure that reduced server downtime by 40% for a government department of 2,000 users. Use exact framework terminology. If it asks for agile delivery, mention sprints, scrums, and user research. You may also need to provide details of quality management systems like ISO 9001, environmental management like ISO 14001, and health and safety like ISO 45001 or CHAZ. If you do not hold formal certification, provide a detailed description of internal processes demonstrating equivalent standards. Part 6 covers compliance policies and additional modules. These are increasingly critical. For IT systems or handling public sector data, Cyber Essentials is mandatory under Procurement Policy Note 014. Higher risk frameworks require Cyber Essentials Plus. This is a hard pass or fail. For modern slavery, if your turnover exceeds £36 million, you must comply with the Modern Slavery Act 2015. CCS often asks all suppliers to confirm their approach to mitigating risks. For equality and diversity, confirm compliance with the Equality Act 2010, upload your Equal Opportunities Policy, and confirm no unlawful discrimination findings. The policy must be up to date and implemented. For carbon reduction, contracts over £5 million require a carbon reduction plan confirming commitment to net zero by 2050 under Procurement Policy Note 06/21. Even for smaller lots, having an environmental policy and baseline emissions data is recommended. Finally, confirm compliance with health and safety legislation, providing your policy and detailing any health and safety executive enforcement notices in the past 3 years. Let us look at a worked example for a technical and professional ability response, often forming the basis of a COTPA, for a cloud migration lot on a framework like RM6263. The contract title might be Legacy Infrastructure Migration to Public Cloud for the Department for Work and Pensions, valued at £450,000, running from January to November 2024. In the description, state you acted as the prime contractor to migrate a legacy on-premise case management system to a secure AWS cloud environment. Detail the scope, like architecture design, data migration of 2 terabytes of sensitive citizen data, and implementing a new CI/CD pipeline. Mention the multidisciplinary team provided. For relevance to the framework specification, state this demonstrates capability in cloud migration services, Lot 2. Mention utilizing agile methodologies like Scrum in 2-week sprints, aligning with the government service design manual and conducting user research. For outcomes achieved, state the migration was completed 2 weeks ahead of schedule and 5% under budget. The new infrastructure reduced system latency by 35% and achieved 99.99% uptime. Ensure full compliance with NCSC cloud security principles, passing all penetration tests with 0 critical vulnerabilities. Now, let us discuss implementation and common pitfalls. First, failing to answer every part of a multi-part question. If you miss a subclause, you fail. Break the question down and use subheadings. Second, using outdated policies. Uploading a health and safety policy from 2019 shows a lack of compliance. Review and date stamp core policies annually. Third, ignoring word counts. Draft in a word processor, check the character count, and then paste it into the portal. Fourth, assuming not applicable is an acceptable answer. Never write not applicable unless guidance explicitly states a question is optional. Explain why it does not apply based on regulations. Fifth, leaving COTPA signatures to the last minute. Request signatures immediately during the bid or no-bid phase. Sixth, mismatching financial data. Ensure stated turnover matches uploaded audited accounts. Any discrepancies must be explained. Finally, providing generic case studies. Map specific activities directly to framework requirements using their language. Let us wrap up with a quick Q&A. A common question is, what is the difference between a PQQ and an SQ? They are effectively the same thing. The government rebranded PQQ to Selection Questionnaire in 2016 to standardize the process via Procurement Policy Note 8/16. Another question is, do I need 3 years of accounts to pass? No. Newer businesses cannot be unfairly excluded. Provide alternative financial evidence. Can I use private sector contracts as references? Yes, unless guidance forbids it. Relevance is key, not the sector. What happens if I fail a mandatory exclusion question? You are excluded immediately, unless you provide robust evidence of self-cleaning. Is social value scored at the PQQ stage? Usually, no. It focuses on backward-looking compliance. Social value is evaluated during the invitation to tender or award stage. In summary, the PQQ is your gatekeeper. Treat it with the same rigor as your technical response. Accuracy, timely evidence gathering, and strict adherence to formatting are non-negotiable. For more detail, refer back to the written guide on our platform. And if you want to streamline this entire process, remember that Bidwill automates much of this compliance heavy lifting, freeing you up to focus on winning the work. Thanks for listening.